Sheriff Barris, Steve Barris, is sheriff of Perry County, as I insinuated just a couple of moments ago. And he has been, well, you were in the sheriff's department starting in 2001, but you were elected sheriff 2014.
Correct.
You know, it's interesting because when I talk to people who have met you and know you, they say, this is a professional law enforcement agent. This is what he does. It's what he's always done. I think you're also in the National Guard now. You're a canine unit. You're head of the canine for Perry County. You've trained two dogs there. You've been with the Missouri Highway Patrol when you were also the chaplain for them. You've got a long career. Congratulations, by the way.
Well, thank you. I'm pretty proud of my past, and I'm proud to serve presently.
And what I find interesting is, Steve, you've been a sheriff during a time where we have seen radical swings in the pendulum, all right? And maybe you even know this feel. It's a little bit more because of your proximity to Ferguson, Missouri, where the pendulum swung so far one way. And then you see things like disasters or 9/11. You see the pendulum swing towards supporting first responders. And we're in one of those areas now where there's a new appreciation for first responders. At least that's my view. You?
I've certainly sensed the same thing, that there seems to be a majority that support our first responders and law enforcement, as well as fire and EMS.
And when you become sheriff, you're right, you're representing your entire sheriff's department, safety of your community, and you had some thoughts, as many people have, as we see stay-at-home orders and non-essential orders, but the image last Sunday of police in a church parking lot at a drive-in Easter celebration taking license plate numbers, I think, was something that was very provocative in a lot of people's minds, including myself.
Well, absolutely. It's one of the things that initially kind of set me off. I had been involved with, I've been well informed with what's going on the state level. I mean, I call in on Brendan Kelly, the director of ISP, the Illinois State Police, once, twice a week. I mean, I'm listening, and I've got a heart to the pulse of what's happening in law enforcement in the state. And everything that we were getting here in Illinois was, this model works for exercising of religion, but as well as has the spirit of the governor's order in mind. And so when I saw what was going on, it definitely concerned me, because I believe they're social distancing. They may be coming out of their houses, but no more than going for an evening ride or going to the store or to get necessities or so forth. And so I've been pleased to see that I think in our state it's going to be acceptable. But even in a call I had yesterday, there was some elements of discontent with it, it seemed like, coming from Springfield, and those things still concern me. And I with this issue and another property rights issue that came to light last week, I felt like I had to come out and make a statement that there are certain limitations in this balance between a pandemic, our Constitution, and a governor's order that you must put in place.
Well, I think, Sheriff, one of the terms that I heard attributed to you is, I'm a constitutional sheriff.
Absolutely. I mean, I've taken stands before when we were going to become a sanctuary state for the Second Amendment a couple years ago. There's elements that I'm just, there's certain things that if they come out of Springfield or come out of Chicago that are going to violate our constitutional rights, I, as a sheriff and a chief law enforcement officer of the county, am not willing to maybe enforce some things. And I realize that down the road I may be in the minority, but and down the road it may even cost me my position. But if that be the case, I'm willing to have the broad shoulders to handle it.
You know, when I listened to you talk this morning, I mean, because there's a differentiation here. They say essential and non-essential, and I can tell you there's more than one person that would hear this conversation this morning and say, man cannot live on bread alone. You know, and I get that at its heart. What we're talking about is here is a time that's trying for people and then being cut off from their congregation or church in many ways. We know people are, other people are going to church. As my mom says, she goes to church on her phone now. But there comes a point where you say, this is essential and this is not essential. And somebody else making that call that I feel, you know, that that's the kind of thing that you, I mean, the term enforcement in the very name, law enforcement officer, you've got the laws, we've got lawmakers now who no longer observe the law. You just referenced that in sanctuary cities. And that there comes a time where a law enforcement agent has to take responsibility for enforcing the laws within the bigger scope of things. And that, of course, references once again back to constitutionality of something. Can they stop you from being able to go to church or the right to assemble?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, and I want people to realize that I'm not saying we have to, we need to throw caution into the wind. I mean, I don't want a situation to where a church becomes a hotbed of, you know, potential this virus, you know, being spread. And so there's some fine lines in how we need to practice our faith. But there's, I believe the drive-in church model meets the requirements of social distancing, but still allows for freedom to assemble and there to be some relationship, even if it's just waving it at somebody through a car window, somebody you hadn't seen in a while, you know.
All right. So, you know, you've seen a lot of press on this story. I will not, because people want to. And here's the thing, and I know you experience this in law enforcement. I have never seen a period of time where I've seen so much deliberate misinterpretation.
Absolutely. I mean, I was put back by how viral this thing went in my first post. I mean, I didn't go into great details. I basically just tried to state the issue that sometimes we've got to stand on our rights and not just give them up. And I, you know, when I saw that 53,000 people see it and, you know, it was shared over 500 times almost, it amazed me. You know, and I've had some great opposition from people that are from maybe outside of Southern Illinois, from St. Louis, Chicago, so forth. And, they, you know, they're entitled to their opinion, but most of them misunderstood what I was trying to say. I wasn't saying throw caution in the wind, just let people assemble and defy everything. I mean, there's got to be boundaries. There's got to, you know, I'm still a watch care person for the safety of my community, and I love the people of Perry County, and I'm not going to put them at undue risk. But as well, we have to find a way to exercise our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness in the midst of a pandemic. And I'm not going to be a legalist to something that is not law.
Sheriff Steve Barrett. Steve, out of all the things that have been said, printed on your stand here, is there anything that's been misinterpreted that you would like to clear up in this opportunity that we have before we conclude today?
The biggest piece had to do with misinterpreting that I was just going to let people gather around and let bars open and those types of things, and that's not the case whatsoever. I believe that assembling too many people together right now is not the wise thing. I mean, I think the next 2 weeks in Southern Illinois are going to be possibly the most difficult for us. But as the president has said, and other states are getting together to talk, we've got to find a way to start reopening a little bit and relating to things. We have to find a way to balance what's going on in life with living again. And I don't have all the answers, but I firmly believe, and my hope and prayer is that we'll be wise and prudent in our decisions and use some discretion as we deal with keeping safety at the forefront for our community.
You know, it's interesting because what I heard was, look, we're capable of exercising common sense in our communities. We know the safety guidelines and we need the freedom to be able to do that and be self-reliant. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. Is that?
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. I actually had some people slam me about, well, you know, throw away common sense. What about science and all this type of stuff? And then I listened to the news last night and I think I heard common sense 5 or 6 times used out of Washington. So it's one of those things that, you know, we do. We have to exercise some freedom of decision and personal responsibility here, folks.
Yeah.
And as a police officer, I'm not going to exercise martial law, or am I going to get into the situation of being a police state to where I'm stopping people for no reason and no probable cause. There is due process still under the Constitution. And I realize that in a crisis situation, there are some rights we may have to give up, which we have seen. But as well, we have to maintain, as Americans, the balance of where our rights come from. And if we give those up, we will soon give up being what we are, and we'll become socialist or communist. And I'm not willing to see that happen under my watch.